Today on Real Radio.
For listen to what the verse Paul the Apostle quotes. Are you guys sitting down? Are you with me? Everybody here? Regarding this, Paul is speaking even with a harlot. If you go to the house of the hooker or wherever, or whatever, this is what he says. You join yourself to her, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Wow! But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So then flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man sins, he does outside of his own body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So tonight, if you're not married and you're having sex with somebody, you're hurting yourself. He said, I don't like you telling me about that. Look, you're not hurting me. You're hurting you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from the numerous scripture passages that instruct us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian in your home.
Because he says, what I've put together, let no man separate. And you want to ask the question, why? Because marriage and what it entails is a spiritual issue. Don't think for a moment that when you say, I do, it's all done. When you say, I do, it's just the beginning. I do believe I'm beginning a walk for the rest of my life. And listen, much of it we're not even aware of. We wake up halfway into it. It is a spiritual venture that God has called us to embark upon. It's proven to be the best, most productive, successful platform to build a life and a home on. Marriage. What happens when two become one? There's a collision of ideas, personalities, desires, ambitions. It's huge. People have said, I don't know who said it, but people have said it. If you survive the first, what was it? First 3 years or 5 years? Seven, what's the latest? If you survive the first 3 weeks? But there's this little jingle the world has. If you survive the first year, you'll make it. Or whatever. I don't know what the thing is. Why do they say such things like that? Because there's a huge collision of ideas and of ambition and of desires in a marriage. You can go through all the premarital counseling that this church can offer, and we do require that. Why? Because there's a collision coming. It's huge. And you need to know. You need to know each other. Where are you going to live after you're married? Who's going to do? How many kids do you want? Where are you going to retire? What happens if she gets pregnant? What are you going to do with the kids once they're delivered? What's going to happen? All these kinds of things. What about Christmas? Where are you going to spend it? At your parents or her parents? How are you going to divide up the day? All this kind of stuff. People just go, I love you. I love you too. Let's get married. Okay. Wait a minute. Where in the world are you going to spend Christmas? People get in fights over these things. It's absolutely amazing. When two become one, it's a big deal. Two lives are, listen, as Christians, remember, we're Christians tonight, two lives yield to the authority and to the leadership of God. That's how it works. How can two become one? It is impossible unless both of you willfully yield to God. You submit to God first, everything else is downhill after that. It's amazing. And I was back over here during worship. As the worship was going, I saw some pretty gnarly guys come in tonight. Big guys coming in. They're walking in. You heard that we've been talking about relationships and stuff like that. You haven't been here before, but you're thinking, you know what, maybe I ought to go see what's there. Come walking in. Any girls around here? When I said how many of you are single, you were looking to see if somebody raised their hands. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how petite and gentle you might be or how incredibly buffed and gigantic you might be. The truth of the matter is our hearts are seeking love. And our hearts are seeking relationship. And no one wants to enter into a relationship that's doomed for failure. And that is a very, very serious issue because, listen, laying your life down to Jesus Christ is the greatest guarantee that your marriage will work. And here's the thing. Keeping your life at the foot of the cross will keep your marriage working. Whenever you and I pick up ourselves, dust ourselves off, and step away from the cross and begin to think or say, I'm going to do it my way, we are in for a collision. It happens every day, somewhere, and sometimes every so often in our lives. Maybe every day in our lives. I don't know. The strongest, most wonderful Christian couple in the world. By the way, Lisa and I met the strongest, most wonderful Christian couple in the world, and that was Dr. John Wolverid, Geraldine and John Wolverid. Some of you may remember him. He's now with Jesus. But they had been married for something like 150 years. I mean, it's ridiculous. And we were having dinner with him in Dallas, Texas. He was the president or dean of Dallas Theological Seminary. We had spent some time there. And we were having dinner with them. And they're playing footsie with each other under the table. And they were, you know, they were just 80 years old at the time. And they were playing footsie, you know. And then when you pray, the meal came. So we prayed. And as soon as we pray, they kiss each other. And, you know, Lisa and I are like trying to, oh, yeah, we do that too. They were amazing. And I don't know if Lisa had asked Geraldine or how it came out, but they said, oh, no, we've never raised our voices to one another in you know, 70 years of marriage or whatever it was. I was like 68 years of marriage. No, we've never yelled at each other. We've never raised our voice towards each other. And like, what? I mean, Lisa, can you take out the trash? I mean, that's raising your voice, in my opinion. It was just amazing. But those two lives, they were so dedicated. They lived in such a constant awareness of the Lord. And here's the cool thing. They both served the Lord until he went home to be with Jesus, you know, not too long ago. Serving Christ and serving others kept before him the cross always. And of course, she was always here. Well, when he'd come and speak, she was always serving him. Book sales and taking care of the speaking things when he was here. Serving the Lord. Great way to keep your marriage together is to have that attitude of yielded servanthood one toward another. Marriage is to be an environment that creates, as it were, a little universe of love. That's the heart of God. The Bible says God is love. You ought to read the Bible. It's awesome. It says of God, He is love. Genesis 24, 67. Okay, hang on. Genesis 24, 67. You know this of Abraham, but did you know, like father, like son? It says in Genesis 24, 67, it says, then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Rebekah and Isaac, what a great story that is. Abraham loved Sarah. Isaac learned how to love Rebekah by watching his mom and dad love each other. And you know in the Bible, it records where, when they're down in Egypt, what's Abraham? Abraham gets caught flirting with Sarah. Remember, he says, tell these guys down here that you're my sister because you're really cute. And if they know that we're married, they're going to kill me. He's a, let's lie so I can live. Well, later on, we'll read the same thing happened with Rebekah and Isaac. Same thing. And we'll talk about it later. It's kind of cute because it says, while Abimelech was looking out of his window, looking at his kingdom, must have been daytime, I guess. He's looking out of his window. And he's looking around and he sees Rebekah and Isaac. And it says that Isaac was sporting with Rebekah. Sporting. He says, well, so what? What, tennis? What, ping pong? Abimelech says, hey, you didn't tell me that she was your wife. You don't do that stuff with your sister. So whatever sporting is, it's clearly something that exhibits affection and love toward each other. When two become one. It's an amazing thing. Second point tonight, being a Christian in your home, what does a marriage do? Some people might say today, well, why should we get married? Or let's live together. And that's fine. You want to live together and you want to do that kind of stuff? Listen, that people do that every day, but just don't call it a marriage. You say, well, what gives you the right? I have no right. None. I have no right. I have no right to say, I can only repeat what I've been told from the book. Okay? And the Bible says that God has laid out and outlined what marriage is. You can live together with anybody you want, as long as you want, as many people as you want. You can do whatever you want. This is America. But don't call it marriage. Because marriage is a spiritual institution defined by God to be done a certain way. Okay, you with me? This is very important. What does a marriage do? What's the big deal anyway? Well, listen, first of all, it binds two individuals together. It binds them together. It's not a piece of paper. Why should I just go and get a piece of paper and then the next day everything's supposed to be different? No, it won't be different. Unless you understand it is a spiritual institution that binds two individuals together, and that is a wonderful thing. Here it goes again. Jesus said it, Matthew 19, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them, speaking of his father, at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. A man needs to be joined to his wife. Very clear, very powerful. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate, says Jesus. It's throughout the Bible. This one flesh union binds two people together under the watchful eye of God. It's amazing. It's awesome. To God, marriage is a triune relationship. What do you mean by that? It is spiritual, it is emotional, and it's physical. It's the body, soul, and spirit of two people coming together. Listen, it's not just sex. It's not just saying I do. Or it's not just having a good time together. Good time together is the emotional connection. Saying I do is that covenant of love. And sex, it's not just the act of sex. You know what's interesting? It's not in my notes, but I'll share it with you. Prostitutes who are with untold amount of people say of themselves that there's one thing they won't do in their prostitution. Oh, you already know the answer then. I heard it. Kiss. They will not kiss. And when asked, why will you not kiss a stranger? They said, no, that is crossing the line. That's too far. We cannot be that intimate with somebody. No, I'm dead serious. Isn't that weird? Isn't it strange that when the Bible speaks about a husband and wife having sex together, the word that is implied is face-to-face union? When the two become one flesh, they are face-to-face. And God loves that. Isn't that amazing? It binds two together. It's a powerful spiritual thing. Listen, sexual activity binds people together. Maybe you were very young, or maybe you were a teenager, or whatever the situation was, and your virginity was surrendered that day, that night, and you never saw that person again. Yet in your life, male and female, predominantly mostly female, but it is true about males also, that there was a bit of property or ownership that was relinquished to that person. There's a power to that. There's a binding power. And God says, listen, God says, I want you to save sex for marriage because I want you to have a great marriage. We think when, oh, thou shalt not, that shall not. Do you know why it says thou shalt not? Because he loves us. Think about it. He says you shouldn't do this. And then read your Bible carefully, because after certain things are met, for example, like marriage, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. As often as thou shalt. But it's a spiritual thing. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, do you not know that he who has joined himself physically to a harlot is one body with her? That's a spiritual thing. For listen to what the verse Paul the Apostle quotes. Are you guys sitting down? Are you with me? Everybody here? regarding this, Paul is speaking even with a harlot. If you go to the house of the hooker or wherever, or whatever, this is what he says. You join yourself to her, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Wow! But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So then flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man sins, he does outside of his own body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So tonight, if you're not married and you're having sex with somebody, you're hurting yourself. He said, I don't like you telling me about that. Look, you're not hurting me. You're hurting you. And God says, I made it. It's like taking, again, I saw Satan's always trying to get me before a service. As I pulled out of my driveway, went up the street there, and there goes that guy. I told you about him before. He may be here tonight. I don't know. He goes by in that Ferrari. You know that? It's a Ferrari. It's a big, beautiful red Ferrari. And I'm thinking, Lord, speak to me tonight so I can speak to your people. Oh, God, move and just help us, Lord, to have a light touch on this world and to be ready for your coming. And then I pull up to the stoplight and And then I envision my truck like a... You know? But the truth of the matter is we're to flee, the Bible says, sexual immorality. We're to flee. Why? Because it's always there to try to trip you up. Because it's a spiritual power. We want to be careful. We want to be very careful. And if you're being tempted to be crossing that line, listen, God's not going to beat you with a stick. He's not going to kill you tonight. He's saying, come on, you're here tonight. You're hearing this message. This is my word. I want you to obey me because I want your life to be blessed. And we think in our minds, man, you know what, though? But if I'm not giving it up, I'm going to be missing something. Hey, listen. You might miss diseases. You might miss all kinds of stuff. And you know what? That's just the petty, silly stuff. The emotional, mental, marital, future marital issues that you're evading will be wonderful if you get away from that stuff. I'm telling you right now. So many people can't have a successful marriage because their past is killing them. Even though Christ can give you the power to break that past. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Malachi 2:14 says this. The Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Not contract, covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. Listen to what he says. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For verse 16 says, God says, I hate divorce. We'll talk about divorce in the weeks ahead. God wants to bind two people together. Also this, what does a marriage do? It not only binds us together, it establishes a family order. The family order. When we hear the word order, sometimes it sounds almost militant or somehow insistent. But guess what? That's exactly what it is. A family order God wants to establish. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, regarding the family, God says this. Take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. A great thing for the home is for our children to hear from us, moms and dads. We need to slow down and start telling our kids or letting our kids hear conversations about what great things God has done in our lives. And I'm asking you right now, can you guys hear me? I'm asking you to do this now. Start doing it now. Make a determination that from now on in our home, our little kids, or maybe you've got teenagers now, they need to start here. You need to sit down and tell them. You know, a lot of your kids don't realize what God has done in your life. You might be here tonight saying, well, I'm all new to Jesus, and I'm all new. Hey, then tell your kids. Hey, our lives are changing, kids. We're following Christ now. Let them in on it. Lisa and I have sheltered our kids from nothing. I mean, from the smallest age, they were sitting around Bible studies with us. They were with us with friends over everything. They just sat there in those little rocking plastic chair things. They were this there. They were always there. But even still, with all they've seen, they saw this church start with six people. They saw that stuff happen. But there's still so much they don't remember, they don't realize. And Lisa and I will be talking, and we'll say something. And they'll say, well, I didn't know that happened. When was that? No, this is that. And it's amazing. It builds their faith. God says, talk to your kids. Let them know. Start telling your kids. You can start by tonight. Tell them what's going on in Africa by virtue of the fact of your involvement in Africa tonight. That there are people coming out of cults and coming out of darkness into the light. Tell them about it. It's amazing. That's a great thing regarding the family. The family order is established. It's a beautiful thing. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, that is his own home, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith, and it's worse than an unbeliever. We're not only to be people, Christians, establishing a family order in our lives. Marriage is the foundation for that. But we are to be, as husbands and wives, we are to be a family that provides for our children. We are to be a family that protects them. It's a very important thing. The family is where, either by propagation or by adoption, a family becomes a temple, as it were, a nucleus for the future. Without a family, you guys, we don't have a community. Without a community, we don't have a state. Without a state, we don't have a nation. And it all begins with a family. Family falls apart, the nation will fall apart. What's the condition of America's family? That's the future. Give it 35, 40 years. What is now? Give it 35 to 40 years. That will be the nation. God help us. It's a scary thought, but it can be changed. If we go home tonight and strengthen our families, and husbands loving their wives and wives loving their husbands. Also this, what does a marriage do? It creates a cultural life. It creates a culture of life. A marriage most often leads to a family, obviously. Not in all cases. But if marriage leads to a family in most cases, and that affects the community in which you and I live. And I know that there's a daunting task that we think before us. It's like, we'll never make a difference. We'll never affect anybody. What can our little family do? And yet God uses that. He honors that tremendously. There's no greater investment than for you to invest in your family. Point number three tonight is this. Being a Christian in your home. What gives in a marriage? This is kind of fun. What gives in a marriage? I got to go through this fast. What gives in a marriage? First of all, are you ready? Jot it down. You do. Mark it down. What gives in a marriage? Me. You do. Whenever you talk. Just like the wind or currents, temperatures and weather, those things change. They're invisible, but when they change, it creates weather. And just like how you and I speak, it creates an atmosphere in a home.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, sharing some wisdom from Scripture. It's part of a mini-series called Being a Christian in Your Home, part of a series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible. It's actually a series within a series, which means that we'll continue with more of Being a Christian in Your Home on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently delivered, and it's now available for purchase in either CD or DVD format. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Just ask for the series Life and the Bible on either CD or DVD. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous support of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.